All right, Jav, say good morning. Let's begin. Interesting daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Hey, 35. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam and Yehudit Ben Zev, for dedicating the Shiur Midrashos this month to Ilui Nishmas, Adam's grandfather, Moshe David Ben Shalom, and his grandmother, Helen Nachman, his parents, Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant them Arichos Yamim Vishanim. We also have a dedication by Avram Klugman, in memory of Mrs. Gussie Willie Cohn, Zichron Lebrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. And to thank Jack Bennett for dedicating the week of Daf Yomi in memory of Sergeant Nikolai Rappaport, who was killed by Hezbollah terrorists in an ambush in southern Lebanon in 1998. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant Siyata Dishmaya to all of our brave soldiers who defend Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And Abosai, with that, let us begin. So today's daf is Lamed Hey. We are picking up Lamed Dalet Amud Beis 34b. And we're picking up Amar Rav Yosef, second wide line on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. So remember again, the Mishnah that we had in yesterday's daf was speaking about the halachos concerning the dam of an avedes kochavim, dam tara shel mitzora. So remember again, in the case of dam tara shel mitzora, So it says the Gemara. So remember, we got a little bit sidetracked yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, with the discussion about Zov. So Rav Yosef, it's so easy to get sidetracked on Zov, you know, just that's how it happens. It says the Gemara, I'm Rav Yosef, ki pashit Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay, I guess my Zov humor is not going over big. Okay, so it says the Gemara, so I'm Rav Yosef. Is today, right, is today in the Velt, it's already like a shtickle Thanksgiving today? Like a half day today. I see the jeans are out. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So I feel like the good. It's casual Friday. Got it. But I'm saying, but people have work or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking to the doctors. The doctors are a separate... no, not really. So, stock market open?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Okay, good. Jose, relax. You know, that's good. Says the Gemara. So I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef, ki pashet Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish b'zav. So also when Rav Yosef was talking about the sugya of zav, boy hachi, he asked the following shayla. Ri'ir rishona shel zav katan mao shetetame b'maga. So both say, interesting shayla. The ri'ir rishona, the first ri'iyah. So remember again, I will say, when it comes to zav, so there's a chiluk between the first ri'iyah, second ri'iyah, third ri'iyah. The truth is, we'll see actually today fourth ri'iyah as well. Although fourth ri'iyah again, remember after third ri'iyah is already observing Shiva Nikiyim. Again, we'll see the fourth ri'iyah has to do with what's the word? Not demolishing the Shiva Nikiyim. What's the word?
Disrupting,
thank you. Disrupting the Shivanikiyim. So let's say, see here, the Shiloh over there, we're talking about it as follows. We've already established that even a boy one day old could become a Zav. The Shiloh is the status of that discharge, right? Is the discharge itself the Tam B'Mago? If a person touches the discharge, does it go ahead and is it Matam B'Mago? So the Gemara says, Zos Toras HaZav, Vasher Tesin and Shechvas Zera Amrachmana. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, this is the laws of the Zav, and he who has a seminal emission, called Shechvas zera shalomitami. So it's anyone who shechvas zera, who the zera itself conveys tuma. So re'iyah rishona shalomitami. So to again his zav discharge will also be mitami. So we'll say therefore again going back to this katan v'hai kevan the shechvas zera shalomitami. So therefore we'll say when it comes to a katan. So remember again we established this 2 or 3 days ago that for shechvas zera at what age does that discharge convey tuma? 9 years old in one day. Excellent. So we'll say, so therefore, again, we're equating the two. So just like by a katan, his shechva zera does not convey tuma, so to his zav discharge will not convey tuma. So we'll say, that's one possibility. Or the other possibility is, oh, Dilma, kevan dilu ihi chazi tarti mitstarfa mitamya. So we'll say, or on the other hand, you could say like this. It could very well be that halacha l'maisa, the first three iya of a zav katan won't be mitamya. But one thing is clear, which is that when he has his second discharge, what does that do? That it creates a situation of a zav gummer. So you see ultimately that what? That the second ri'iyah is mitztaref with the first ri'iyah, which tells me that what? The first ri'iyah is meaningful. So maybe given the fact that the second ri'iyah is mitztaref with the first ri'iyah, Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the first three should be metame. So we'll say, so two different ways of looking at the first three of a zav katan. Do we compare it to the case of shechvas zera, in which case we'll say, just like the shechvas zera of a katan does not convey tuma, so too, again, the ri'ir rishona of a zav will also not convey tuma, b'maga. Or do we say, no, that since if that zav katan has a second ri'ir, the second ri'ir is mitztaref with the first ri'ir, you see that what? The first ri'ir is meaningful, and therefore halacha lemaisa should be metame b'maga. To which the Gemara says, Amarava, Tashma, so let's analyze this. Zos Torah, Hazav, these are the halachos. This is the Torah of the Zav, that's the Pasuk. So, being Godl, being Katan. Ultimately, again, I will say the Torah does not distinguish between a Zav Godl and a Zav Katan. Ma Godl, Yerushon Shlomitame. So, by a Godl, his first discharge conveys Tuma. Af Katan, Yerushon Namitame. So, therefore, I will say we make no chilik in Zav. So, so too by a Zav, even by a Zav Katan, his first Ria will be Metame Bemago. So by Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef asked the cash. So Yosef, that seems to put that question to bed. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, even by a zav katan, the first ri'ya will be metame b'maga. Okay, by Rabbi Yosef, what about ri'ya rishon b'metzora, ma'u shetetame b'masa? So Yosef, interesting question. What about the ri'ya rishon of a metzora? So Yosef, so remember again, so this is a person who already has saras, who then goes ahead and becomes a zav. Not having a good day. Right? So first he's a mitzvah, then it becomes a zav. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Mao shetetame b'masa. So we'll say, so remember again, to point out, the secretions of a zav already convey to, I'm sorry, the secretions of a mitzvah already convey to ma. We're asking over here now, what about his zav secretion? Does his zav secretion convey to ma b'masa? Right? Carrying it. So makom ziva mayonhu umetame. Do we say that ultimately again that the makom ziva has the status of a mayon? So we'll say mayon. Remember halachically we defined this before as any part in the body where the fluids gather. So do we say that ultimately again zov has the status of a mayon umetame, therefore conveys tuma b'masa? Odim alav mayonhu. Or do we say, no, maybe Zav is not a Mayon, and therefore, again, the Zav discharge does not convey Toma B'masa. Amarava Tashma, Zovo, Tamehu. The Pasuk says, use that Lashon, Zovo, his Zav, it is Tame. Limeit al Hazov, Shu Tame. Teaches us on what? On the Zav discharge itself, that it is Tame. So the Gemara says, B'mai, Tame with what type of Tuma? Ilema, or I should say, what type of case? Ilema bizav greda. If you just want to say they were talking about a regular zav who's not a mitzora, so we'll say therefore what? And therefore it's telling me that the zav discharge itself. We're talking about the discharge itself. We'll say not about the person that the discharge itself conveys tuma. That's obvious. Top of lamehe lacherim gorim tuma the asma lokol shekin. So we'll say again. Remember, if the zav Rashi says. Kolomar tipa zu goremes labayla shetetame b'masa. So we'll say everybody agrees that by a regular zav, right? If that emission has the ability to go ahead and convey tuma through masa, everyone agrees with that. So the Gemara says if it has the ability to be goring tuma liatzmo, the achirim goring tuma liatzmo lekol shekin. So the Gemara says, well, say if the tipa of a zav, everyone agrees lemaisa that the tipa of zav, the actual zav discharge, has the ability to convey tuma to others. If it has the ability to convey tuma to others through masa, through carrying, certainly has the ability to convey tuma to the zav himself. Ela pshita bizav mitzora. Rather, we must be talking about a zav who is a mitzora, and therefore what? And Abba says, since ultimately again, I need the pasuk to teach me that halacha lemaisa about the tuma by ri'ya rishniya by second ri'ya shmamina comes to teach me that what? That makom ziva lav mayonu. It must be that the makom ziva is not a mayon, is not considered to be the source of an internal spring. I will say, in other words, remember, by a mitzora, only things that come be ma'ayonosav, from the quote-unquote the internal spring of the mitzora, ultimately convey tuma. The fact that I need a pasuk by a zav who is a mitzora, must teach me that what? That zivus itself does not have the status of mayon, and therefore halach l'maisa the pasuk be marbit. How do you know? Maybe the pasuk is not talking about a zav who is a mitzora, but rather a regular zav. Udika amrit la achirim gorim tumli atzma lekoshkin. And that's what you said before. Why would you need a pasuk to teach you the halacha by a regular zav? Because they both say if the zav discharged by a regular zav has the ability to convey tumah to others through masa, certainly that discharge could convey tumah to the zav himself. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the raya. Sir Meshtalach Yochiach. I will say, I can bring you a raya from the case of Sir Meshtalach. Very interesting. I will say, the Sir Meshtalach, remember again, is the goat of Yom Kippur that is sent out with the Ish Iti and is thrown over the cliff. I will say, what's unique about the Sir Meshtalach? Very interesting. Shegorim Tomali Achirim Vehu Atzmo Tahar. I will say, interestingly enough, the Seer is the proof. The Seer conveys tuma to others. Look at Rashi. We'll say Rashi right across. The Amrit Sir Dim Shach Yochiach Shagorim Tuma, Limishalcho, Kedich Siva Meshalech Sair, Yichabes Vigadav, Vu Atzmo Tahar, Shein Behema Mitamin Chaim. This is actually a fascinating halacha. That the halacha is that the person who takes the Seir out, the person who the Torah calls the Ish Iti, that individual, when he takes the seir out, the pasuk says, "Yichabes bigadav." He must launder his clothing. The launder, I mean, he becomes tamei. But yet, interestingly enough, the seir itself is what? The seir is tahar. Why is the seir tahar? Because animals can never become tamei while they are alive. That's a unique aspect by Adam, not by behema. So, both say, see, you see a case where the object itself conveys tumah to someone else. Yet, what? It remains tahar. Amar Abaye, mighty boyle. So Abaye says, what's your shayla? Vahahud amar zos toras hazav. So the pasuk says, these are the laws of the zav, bein gadol, bein katan. I was saying that teaches me that what? That halacha lemaisa, the status of the zav is true, whether the zav is a gadol, right, an adult, or a katan, or a minor. They are a child, let's say. The chiva denafkele mihasam, once I'm learning that halacha from there, therefore what? Ayayser le lezocher le rabos mitzor lemayin osav. I will say, therefore I have an extra lezocher, an extra word, and that teaches me that what? That ultimately, again, a zav who is a mitzorah, his zivus conveys tuma as well. Mitzor lemayin osav. Nekeva le rabos mitzor lemayin osav. And the word nekeva ultimately teaches me that a mitzoras, any discharges that she has that come from her ma'ayanos, also convey tuma. Va'akshe rachmana mitzora lezav gomer. And the Torah is equating a mitzora to a zav gomer. To teach me what, Rabbi Osai? Ma zav gomer mitame b'masa. So I just want to point out over here, remember, when we're speaking about a zav in this context, we're speaking about the actual status of the discharge itself. Not about the person, but about the discharge. So we'll say, so now we're saying the Torah is going ahead and equating Metzora to a Zav. For what purpose? To teach me, Ma Zav Gamar Metame Bemasa. Just like a Zav Gamar, we'll say. A Zav Gamar, as soon as he has a discharge, that discharge is Metame Bemasa. Right? They both say, remember again, Zav Gamar is even after the second Re'iyah. So remember again, after the first Re'iyah, so that's already Metame Bemaga. This is talking about, again, being Metame Bemasa. Just like a Zav Gamar, ultimately, again, his Re'iyos convey Tumah Bemasa through carrying. Afriya Rishona Shamitsora. So to the comparison teaches me that's what? That even the first three of a Mitsora, Mitame Bemasa, ultimately again conveys Tumah Bemasa as well. That's the limud between Zav and Mitsora. Am Rafuna. Rafuna says as follows. Riya Rishona Shalzav Mitame Baones. So it's a very interesting halacha. Rafuna says that even the first three of a Zav can be metame ba'ones. Now, I'll say, remember again, ones means the result of some type of external stimuli. So Rav Huna says that even if the zav emission is the result of some type of external stimuli, ultimately, again, the man will still become chayiv, will still become tame because of zav. If you look at Rashi, which is the moment, metame ba'ones, it's in the widest lines, four lines in. Osa tumakala amuraba. So also the akala mu'uraba ha'amura ba, sorry, maga v'tumas erev kikeri u'listarif l'shniya l'tamei kizav gamar v'hu d'chsim mibsara v'lamachmas onso. So we'll say, so we'll see what this is in just a moment. But the idea over here is, remember, the first emission that a zav has is treated relatively kal. In that what? In that number one, it only has tumas maga, which is very important. If you were to carry that emission without contact, you would not become tamei. The only time you're tamei is direct contact. And not only that, for the riyah rishona, you're only tamei what? Tumas erev, which means you're just tamei for that particular day, and ultimately you can go to the mikvah that night. The only time zav becomes chomer is when there's a second emission, and then the second emission goes ahead and combines with the first. That's when ultimately, again, things become a bit more complicated. So back to the Gemara. So Rav Huna, riyah rishona shel zav tamei ba'ones. The first three of a zav is ultimately, again, tamei, even if it's directly the result of external stimuli. Shene emar, Zos Toras Hazov Vasher Tetse Mimeno Shikhvas Zera. This is the halachos of the Zov. And from he who emits Shikhvas Zera. So as I said, the point the Gemara is making over here is Torah is equating Zov with Shikhvas Zera. How so? Mas Shikhvas Zera Metame Baonis. Afrir Yishron Shel Zov Metame Baonis. Just like Shikhvas Zera Bosa is Metame, even through Onis. The Rabbis say, Shechva Zera is always, quote-unquote, bonus. What does that mean? Meaning Shechva Zera is always the result of some type of arousal, which is considered to be external to the individual. So just like Shechva Zera, ultimately, again, is mitame bonus. So to, again, Re'iyah Rishona of Azav. Rabbis say, remember, as we're going to see, this stands in contradistinction to the second Zav emission, which cannot be bonus. So just like Sheikh Vazera, ultimately, again, is a result of onus, or can be a result of onus, so too, again, Re'ir Rishon of Zav, if it's a result of onus, it'll also be Tamei. Says the Gemara Tashmar, let's analyze. Ra'ir Rishon, both Kinoso. Supposed to listen to this. If the Zav has his first emission, we examine him. We examine him. The Rabbos say, look at Rashi. You're going to see. B'sheva drachim b'machal mishta. The Rabbos say, what this sounds like over here is as follows. When a man has a Zav emission, what we do is we subject him to a Zav physical. And what's the Zav physical? We're trying to see if that discharge is maybe the reaction to something else. Maybe it's something you ate. Maybe it's something you drank. Maybe it's something that changed in your environment. So the Gemara says, why are we checking him? My love, Latuma. Boss, are we not checking him ultimately again for Tuma purposes? That ultimately, again, to teach me that what Rabbi say, that Alocha L'maisa, if this discharge is a result of some type of external stimulus, then what? He'll be totally tar. It's not even considered to be a Zav discharge, to which the Gemara says, lo, l'karban. Rabbi say, no, what it means is for karbonic purposes. That Alocha L'maisa, again, if that first three, right, what we want to see over here, that discharge is Tameh. That discharge is Tameh. What we need to see ultimately, again, is if it's a result of Tuma, if it's a result of Ones, it may not be subject, it may not go ahead and count towards the, it may not count towards the tally for karbonic purposes. Tuma, it'll be for sure. But Lamaisa isn't mitzarif ultimately, again, for karbonic purposes. Tashma, so what I say, so this is very interesting. So what we begin to see over here is that even if a person has a Zav emission that is the result of Ones, halacha lemaisa, he'll still be Tamei. What the Bodkin also is trying to figure out is if it counts towards the tally ultimately of Karbanos. So Tashma, Bishnia Bodkin also, so what I say, so the Braisa says over here, after the second Re'iyah, we once again check him. So we'll say again, seeing if the Re'iyah itself is a result of external stimuli. Lamai, why are you checking him? Ilema le karban aval l'tuma lo. So we'll say, if you want to say we're checking him for karbonic purposes, meaning to see if this Re'iyah will be mitztarif to create karbonic liability. But for tuma, we don't have to check him. Because lamai, again, for tuma, he's going to be tummy regardless. Well, here's the problem. Ikri kan mibsaro v'lo machmas onso. But we'll say, why don't we make the drasha over here that Zav has to be mibsaro, has to be from his flesh, and ultimately, again, not the result of any type of onis situation. Ella, rather, what does it mean, bodkinoso? Lav l'tumah. Rather, we'll say, must be that when it comes to the second re'iyah, we're checking him to see for tumah purposes, namely telling me what? That if this discharge was the result of an ones, halacha l'maisa, the discharge would not be tamei. Umi de seifa l'tuma, and I'll say, if you're telling me again that by the second riyah, by the seifa, ultimately, again, we're checking him for an onis to see if it's tamei, that should be the same ultimately again by the reisha when we're checking him after the first discharge. Reisha nami lutuma. To which the Gemara says, "Well, say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha, I see even by Rishona Vazov, if you could determine that it's an ones, ultimately again, it would not be tamei. That challenges what we said before." To which the Gemara says, "No, no, no. There is no need to link the Rishon the Seifa. Midi area hakidisa vahakidisa. Each case ultimately again can be reckoned on its own. Namely, that halacha, I said, it's possible that for Re'iyah Rishona." Even ones will be problematic for tumah purposes, and by re'iyah shnia, that's where ones ultimately again. If it's ones, it will not be problematic. If it is ones, it will be problematic. Tashma. So we'll say. So what we begin to see over here, and we're going to further flesh this out, is fascinatingly enough, the re'iyos of a zav have different criteria for different re'iyos. That's what we're beginning to see. Tashma. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Af bishlishi bot kinoso mipnei hakarban. Rabbi Eliezer says, even by the third ri'iyah, we actually go ahead and check him for karbonic purposes. So also remember again, after the third ri'iyah, that's where halacha lemaisa you generate karbonic liability. So Rabbi Eliezer says, that is only true if the third ri'iyah is not machmas onis, is not machmas some type of external stimulus. But lemaisa again, we check him. If there's something external that's being goring the ri'iyah, then halacha lemaisa, no karban. So the Gemara says, michlal, the Tanakama, mipnei atuma kamar. I will say what this makes it sound like is the Tanakama also agrees that after the third ri'iyah you're checking him, but it's not the Tanakama saying that it's a result of tuma. You're checking him for tuma purposes, not just for karbanic purposes. To which Gemara says, lo, the chuli amal the karban. Everyone is agreeing that over here you're checking him out the carbon. So what's the machlokes? V'acha be'esim kemiflagi. Rabbi say here, there is a matter of machlokes regarding the drushas by Zav. Here we go. Rabbanon lo darshi esim. We'll say the Rabbanon do not darshi in the word esim. We're going to see what the drushas are in just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer darish esim. Rabbi Eliezer does darshin the word es. So watch this. Rabbanon lo darshi esim. The Rabbanon don't darshin the word es. Hazav chada. So we'll say Zav teaches me first ria. Zovo, Tarti, second Riyah. L'zachar, Bishlishi. The Zachar teaches me third Riyah, which generates karbonic liability. What do you see from here? Akshe Rachmana L'nekeva. And I'll say, ultimately again, the Torah equates a Zav to a Zava. Teaching me that what Kazachar and Nekeva are mentioned together. Torah is equating a Zav to a Zava. Teaching that, I'll say, just like a Nekeva, just like a Zava. Could become a Zava Gidola and becomes Tamea, even Machmas Onis, even if she has this discharge because of some external stimuli, so too a Zav could become a Zava Gidola, a Zav Gadol, even through what? Even through Onis, even through external stimuli. So we'll say that is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. I'm sorry, the Rabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer Darish Esim, Rabbi Eliezer Darshan's Esim, and he says like this, so Hazav Chada, Es Tarti Zovo Tlas. So we'll say, so essentially again, he darshins the three Re'iyos of Zav without having to make any comparison between Zachar and Nekeva. Berevi'i Akshe Rachmana LeNekeva. It is only by the fourth discharge that the Torah equates a male Zav to a female Zava. Nebos, you'll say to yourself, what fourth discharge is there? So there is a fourth discharge. What's the fourth discharge? After a man becomes a zav gadol, three ri'iyos, what has to happen over here? He has a karban and what? Shivanikiyim, seven clean days. I will say, if there is a fourth discharge, that fourth discharge would be during the seven clean days. In that respect, that discharge of a male is compared to the discharge of a female. Just like by a female, if she has a discharge, she has a discharge, and that discharge is machmas onis, it's a result of some external stimuli. So too, again, if a man has that fourth discharge during his shivanikiyim, even if it's the result of an onis, it will undo the shivanikiyim. Says the Gemara Tashma, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, V'halo Zav Bichlal Baal Kari Haya. So it's a very interesting Gemara. Zav was included under the general category of Baal Kari. Yet, V'lami Yatza, yet Rabbi will say ultimately again, so here's what's interesting. On one hand, the Torah mentions Zav and Shechva Zera together, But then Zav gets its own section in the Torah. So Zav was included with Shechva Zera, then removed from Shechva Zera. Why is that? V'lami yatsa, lahakil alav u'lahachmir alav. It will say both l'chumra and l'kula. How so? So the Gemara says, lahakil alav, it comes to me, Mikil on Zav, how so? Shem etame ba'onis. So we'll say kula number one, is that Zav does not become Tamei Ba'onis. Right? That's why the Rishonim was saying, both Kenoso, we check him. Right? So we'll say, halacha, if a man has a Zav emission through Onis, or some type of external stimulus, halacha l'maaseh, he's not Tamei. That's different than Shechva Zera. If a man has a seminal emission, Rabbi Osei, even if it was Ba'onis, meaning some type of external arousal, everybody has the discharge, halacha l'maaseh, he is Tamei. So we'll say, so that's the Kula that Zav has over Shechva Zera. Ula hachmir alav, what's the chumra, amud beis, that Zav has over Shechva Zera? Shu'osem mishkav u'moshav. That ultimately, again, remember, Zav has the ability to become an avatuma, which Shechva Zera, of course, does not. Emas, so we'll say, when ultimately, again, does Zav has the ability to go and mimatami mishkav u'moshav? Ilema, so we'll say, mishkav u'moshav means anything you sit on or lean on. So Amos, when is this? Ilema bereiyeshnia. If you want to say it's talking about the reiyeshnia, hecha hava. I'm sorry. Ilema bereiyeshnia. Hecha hava. Bechla bal keri. So we'll say. So remember again, reiyeshnia was never included in bal keri. Ela pshita bereiyeshnia. So we'll remember again. So rather, must be talking about what? Must be talking about reiyeshona. Vikatani lahakel alav. She'eno mitame ba'onis. So we'll say again, going back to our previous discussion, the Brice is pretty explicit. What did the Brice just say? That by a Zav, right, a Zav ultimately, again, was included in the Klal of Balkari. When was it included in the Klal of Balkari? It can't be by Re'iya Shniyah of Zav, because Re'iya Shniyah of Zav is already much more Chomer. Rather, when was Zav included in the category of Balkari? It must be what? The Re'iya Rishona, first Re'iya. And therefore, what do you see from here? If it's included ultimately again in Balkari, that would mean that technically speaking, it should be Matame even Ba'onis, just like a Balkari. But yet the Torah then takes Zav out of Balkari to tell you that what is being Mekel on it, that even by Re'iya Rishona it's not Matame Ba'onis. Betizbara, Lahachmir Alav, Shu'osa Mishka V'moshav. So let's go back. Let's analyze this. So you're telling me again that Zav is more Chomer than Balkari, because Zav could convey Tumah b'mishkav u'b'moshav, which Kari cannot. When is that? B're'iya rishona b'mishkav u'moshavu. Are you going to tell me that it's by the first emission of Zav? That can't be true, because the first emission of Zav does not create Tumah's mishkav u'moshav. Ela halchikam Rabbi Yitzchak. Rather, this is what Rabbi Yitzchak meant to say. Ela halchikam. Rabbi Yitzchak omer, v'alo Zav b'chla Balkari haya. Zav was included in the category of Balkari. B're'iya rishona. Oh, so we'll say, when was Zav included in the halachas of Balkari? When was Zav grouped together with Balkari? That the Re'iya Rishona of a Zav and a Balkari were grouped together. But yet, what happened? Then the Torah Kedosha took Zav out by giving Zav its own section. V'lama yatsa b'Re'iya Shnia. But why ultimately, again, was Zav ultimately, again, removed by Re'iya Rishona, by Re'iya Shnia? Lahakil alav ulahachmir alav. Ultimately, again, to create the kula and the chumra. How so? Lahakil alav shenam atayim ba'onis. The teaching of Abbas, that's what? That a re'iya shnia of zav is not mitame ba'onis. That's the kula as opposed to balkari. Ulahachmir alav shu'osa mishkav u'moshav. And to be machmir on it, that's what? That a zav who has a second re'iya is already mitame. Ultimately, what? Mishkav u'moshav. But Rabbi Yossi, according to this approach, it's quite possible that what? That a Zav by Re'iya Rishona is still grouped where? Still grouped together with Balkari, which would then tell me that just as a Balkari is Matame Ba'onis, so to a Zav by Re'iya Rishona is also Matame Ba'onis. Amar Avuna, Zav Doma. So we'll say here the Gemara just gets into a little bit of the descriptions regarding so just to be clear, everyone's agreeing that by the second re'iyah of a Zav, and certainly by the third, is not metame ba'onis. That we're all agreeing. The machlokes, ultimately, again, is regarding the first re'iyah of a Zav. What is the status of the re'iyah rishona of a Zav? Is it metame ba'onis? is it mitami ba'onis or not? So we'll say, so that ultimately, again, is the subject of machlokes. It appears that where the Gemara is holding right now is that halacha lemaisa, the ri'iyah rishona of a zav, is mitami ba'onis. Why is it mitami ba'onis? Because we'll say, in that respect, it's grouped together with Shechva Zera. That just like Shechva Zera ultimately is Matame Ba'onis, so to the Re'iyah Rishona of Azav is also Matame Ba'onis, but clearly Re'iyah Shnia and Shlia and Shlichis will not be Matame Ba'onis. So we'll say here the Gemara is just giving a little bit of a physical description. Amar Rav Huna, Zov Domo Lemei Batzek Shal Se'orim. So we'll say, so Rav Huna says, so we'll say this is actually very interesting because remember, what the Gemara is going out of his way to show over here is that Azav emission is not a seminal emission. Two different emissions, as we're going to see, in the way, first of all, that they come out of the body, and also in the way they look in appearance. So Zov, Doma Lamei Batzek Shal Se'orim. So I say, so apparently Zov looks like the water used to knead the dough of barley bread. Okay? Zov Ba Mi Baser Hames. Supposedly what this means is, a Zov emission could come out even if the male organ is not aroused. See, I will say, is this going to be opposed to Zera? Zera cannot come out of the aver unless the aver is aroused. That's what it means. Basar means doesn't literally mean a dead person. It just means an unaroused aver. So, Zov Bami Basar Hames, Shechva Zera Bami Basar Chai. Ultimately, again, Shechva Zera can only come if the aver is aroused. Zov Diha, Dome leloven beitza hamuzeras. So we'll say zav. Interestingly enough, again, it's all giving physical descriptions. I will say this was important. Remember, these physical descriptions were very important in the days of Tomantara. Because again, a person has an emission; he's not sure of the metzias of the emission. He has the emission. So the shayla. So we'll say so zav. So apparently, a zav emission diha means it's very liquidy, very liquidy. The dome leloven beitza hamuzeras. And it looks like the white of a spoiled egg. Okay? Sheikh Vazera, Kshura, Sheikh Vazera is thicker. The Doma Lelov and Beza Shein Muzeras. And it has, and is like the white of an egg that is not spoiled. So, what you begin to see is essentially that Zav is a more liquidy, less white emission, darker emission. Sheikh Vazera is a thicker, whiter emission. Good. Dam hayola deshlo tava. So we'll say on to the next statement in the Mishnah. So again, the next statement in the Mishnah. Right. Good. All right. Everybody's happy to move on. Good. Dam ha'ovedes kavas. So we'll say, so in this case over here, this is dam hayoledes. So we'll say, this is actually an interesting case. This is a woman's given birth. Your woman's given birth. And what's happened? She's passed the days of her tumah, but she has not yet gone to the mikvah. I suppose, remember again, the way it works in halachic childbirth is she has, let's say, 7 days for a boy, 14 days for a girl. Then that transitions into Yemei Tohar, right? 33 days for a boy, 66 days for a girl, where even if she bleeds, halacha lemaisa, she's still tar. So what's I said, the case over here, she has not yet gone to the mikvah. So, dama yoladish lo tavla, satanya. Amr lahen beis hillel beis shammai. So I'm sorry. So in the Mishnah, what happened? Dama yoledes shelo tavla beis shammai omrim kiroka ukimemei raglah. So we'll say, so ultimately again, beis shammai says, if she does not go to the mikvah, so the blood, which is dam toar, right? The blood has the ability to convey tumah kiroka ukimemei raglah, like her saliva and like her urine, which was another way of saying what? It only conveys tumah when wet, but not when dry. That was Beis Shammai, thank you. Beis Hillel says, Mitami lach v'yavish. Beis Hillel says, no, the blood has the ability to convey tumah, whether it's wet or whether it's dry. Says the Gemara Tanya, Amrulam Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, Iyatem modim, do you not agree? Benida shelo tavla, v'ra sadam. So we'll say, what happens if Anida did not go to the mikvah and she saw more blood? She tameah. That certainly, again, she is going to be tameah. Amar lahem beis shammai. So beis shammai says, lo, em amartem benida shafilu tavla v'ra'as adam. But when it comes to anida, even if she went ahead and she went to the mikvah and she saw blood again, she'll become tameah again. Tamru biyoledes shim tavla v'ra'as ashitar. But it's different than yoledes. But what's the halacha of yoledes? As long as she goes to the mikvah after her yimei tumah, even if what? even if she sees blood for the next 33 or 66 days, she is totally tahora. So you can't compare it to the case of the Nida who went to the mikvah. Amar Lahem, they said to them, Yoledes Bezov Tochiach. What about the case of Yoledes Bezov? Shim Tavla Ve'ra'asa La'achar Yimei Sefira Tahora. So we'll say, ultimately, Yoledes Bezov, what happens with her? That if ultimately, again, she went to the mikvah, and then she saw again after 7 clean days, after Yimei Sefira, Tahora. Lo Tavla Ve'ra'asa, if she did not go to the mikvah, and saw another emission of blood, Tamea, she is Tamea. Amar Lahem, they responded back, we'll say first wide line, Hu Adin V'yatshuva. Ultimately, again, it's the same thing as we said before, and it's the same refutation as we said before. The memra of the pligia, they're saying then that they argue on a case of Yoledes Bezov, but we learned, Umodim B'Yoledes Bezov, Beisham agrees to Beisilal. In a case where a woman is Yoledes Bezov, also remember again, Yoledes Bezov is that case where she's technically speaking giving birth during her Yemei Ziva. She has, and she again, she bleeds as a result of labor for 3 days during that Ziva period, and ultimately again gives birth in a state of Zivos. Beis Shammai agrees with Beis Hillel, in the case of Yoledes Bezov, she metame lach v'yovish, that ultimately again, she is metame, her blood conveys tuma, whether or not it is dry or wet. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kansha sipra, kansha lo sipra. We both say two different cases. The Bryce is talking about a case where she counted Shivanikiyim. The Mishnah is talking about a case where she did not count Shivanikiyim. Aiva Tanya, Yoledes Bezov Shesipra, Velo Tavla, Virasa, but yet we learned the case of Yoledes Bezov, who counted her days for Shivanikiyim. Velo Tavla, but she did not go to the mikvah. Virasa, then she sees an emission of blood. What happened? Halchu Beishamel Shitasan, Ubisel Shitasan, that even in that case we see that Beit Shammai goes according to their Shita, and Beisel goes according to their Shita. So what's they see that they don't agree? So Itmar, Sigmar raises another point over here. Rav Amar, so we'll say we actually saw this before, and this gets to the very root of the question. I'll say, remember again, where the Mishnah is dealing with a fascinating question about a woman who technically transitioned calendrically, but did not go to the mikvah. Right? So she gave birth. After her Yimei Tumah are over, she should go to the mikvah. Ultimately, again, what? Begin her Yimei Tohar. The problem is she didn't go to the mikvah. So the shayla is, what's the status of her bleeding during those days? Technically, they're calendrically, they are Yimei Tohar days. But the problem, of course, is what? She did not go to the mikvah. So watch this. We actually had this before. Itmar, Rav Amar Ma'ayon Hecharu. Rav said, in fact, Rav say it's all one Ma'ayon. Ma'ayon Hecharu means, Rav say that ultimately, again, the blood that comes during the Yimei Tumah by childbirth, the blood that comes by the Yimei Tumah, and the blood that comes by the Yimei Toar, it's all the same blood. Sa'ai, why is one Tame, one is one, why is one Tar? HaTorah Tamasa v'HaTorah Taraso. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said so. Right? So Rabbi Osai, so again, this is very important. So we're going to see why this is important in just a moment. But I say it's all one blood. So it's not the pshat that there's different blood during Yimei Tumah, during, let's say, 7 days for a boy, and then the next 33 days. It's all the same blood. Just the Torah said that during 7 days, that blood is Tameh. During 33 days, that blood is Tar. Levi Amar, Shnei Ma'ayonosim. Levi says, no, in fact, again, we look at it physiologically as two different types of blood. Nistam HaTameh, Niftach HaTar, Nistam HaTar, Niftach HaTameh. Two different bloods, and therefore again, at the end of 7 days, the impure source of blood closes off, and the pure source opens up, and again, so, and after 33 days, what'll happen? The pure source will close off, and the impure source opens up again. So, may I be now, both say, what's the nafkamina between these two sheets? It's interesting, well, what's the nafkamina? Here we go. Ika benayu, shafas mitoch sheva la'achar sheva, o mitoch arbasar la'achar arbasar, Umitoch arboim laachar arboim, umitoch shmonim laachar shmonim. Both say, listen to this. Where does this come up? It's fascinating. What happens if she never stops to bleed? So we'll say, look at the following case. She gives birth to a boy, Mazel Tov. What's the halacha by a boy? You make tumah. How many days of tumah? 7. How many days of toar? 33. Look at this case. What happens if she continuously bleeds from the 7 days into the 33? She never stops. She never stops. Conversely, what happens if she's in the 33, and when the 33 days are over, what happens? She still continues to bleed. So let's say, so nafkamina will be when a woman continuously bleeds from one state into another. What's her status? L'Rav, Reisha L'Kula V'Seifa L'Chumra. L'Levi, Reisha L'Chumra V'Seifa L'Kula. So we'll say, listen to this. So according to Rav, who says ultimately again, it's Ma'ayon Echad. So we'll say, what's going to happen? If she goes ahead, right? Sorry. Reisha L'Kula. So ultimately say again, look at Rashi for just a moment. L'Rav, Reisha, D'Shafa Mitochi Meitumali Meitara L'Kula. Utahora, va'afa gavdala paska da Torah Tara. So we'll say, listen to this. According to Rav, who says that what? It's one source of blood. The Torah sometimes says, Torah during the 7 days says that it's Tameh, during the 33 days it's Tar. So even if she continuously bleeds from day 7 into day number 1 of the 33, or day number 8, but so Rav's going to say, what happens on day number 8? It's Tar. So according to Rav, Reisha's Lakula, the Seifa, to shafa mitoch mem la'achar mem mitoch pei la'achar shmorim l'chumra u'tmer la'achar shon da'atar tamasa. So also listen to this. According to Rav, it's a calendrical issue. So therefore again, it doesn't make a difference if she stops bleeding or not. If she goes from day number 7 into day number 8, comes day number 8, what's the status of the blood? It's tar. But similarly again, if she goes from day number 40 into day number 41, what happens on day number 41? It's tameh. According to Levi, the Levi reisha lechumra v'seifa lekula. Look at Rashi, the Levi reisha lechumra kevan de la paskal onistamayon tameh. So, it's according to Levi, if she continuously bleeds from day number 7 into day number 8, then what? She's still tameh. Why? What does that show? The impure source has not closed off. That's the lechumra. Conversely, if she bleeds from day number 40 into day number 41, it's still what? Dam tohar. So what says that's nafkamina? So nafkamina will be where there's no stoppage in the bleeding. According to Levi, when there's no stoppage in the bleeding, the previous state continues. According to Rav, it doesn't make a difference if there's a stoppage or not. It's all about the calendar. It's all about the calendrical reality. So Mesi, let's say it's a kasha. We'll do one more line. Mesi, dami ala shol tavla. If you have the love of the who did not go to the mikvah, Beishamai omrim kiroka meimraglaha. So we'll say Beishamai says that ultimately her blood is like roka meimraglaha, meaning only mitame when it's wet, not when it's dry. Beisila omrim mitame lach viyavish. Beisila says ultimately again it conveys to me no matter what. Kasaka daitcha de paska. So we're assuming over here that we'll say that what's the case over here? The case is where the blood stopped at the end of the 7 days before she began the imei toar. So Bishlam al Rav Dumar Mayon Echotu. So according to Rav, I understand who says that it's all one Mayon. Mishum Hochi Mitami Lach V'Yavish. It makes sense then why the blood could convey to Tumah, whether it's Lach or Yavish. El Levi, the Mishnei Mayonos. Amai Mitami Lach V'Yavish. But according to Levi, who says that it's two Mayonos. Why the Mitami Lach V'Yavish? Amar Lecha, Ha Levi, Hakamai Askina. What's the case? Bishofas, where she's not stopping. In fact, again, it's just constant bleeding. And it goes from day number 7 into the Meitoar. Ibu Shafas, my time to Beishamai. If it's Shafas, then what's Beishamai's logic? Kasavri Beishamai, Mayon Echadhu. Beishamai actually is of the opinion of us that it's one Mayon, one source of blood. Bishlam ala Levi, Hanadikam Beishamai is Hillel. It's according to Levi, Rabbi Osai, Mayon Echad, Shnei Mayonos. That's the very machlokes, Beishamai and Beishillel. El Rav, my Beinayu. But according to Rav, ultimately, what's the nafkamina? Meaning, Ika Beinayu, Yomi Utvila. The Beishamai Sabri, Beishamai will hold. Beyomi Talarachmana, Beishamai will hold ultimately again. I will say that what is her Tara? So we'll say, according to, this is actually quite fascinating. According to Rav, the Machlokes Beisham Beisillel is as follows. According to Beis Hillel, I'm sorry, the Beishamai Sabri, Beyomi Talarachmana. We'll say, according to Beishamai, the transition between Yemei Tumah and Tara is a calendrical reality. Once she goes in and goes from day 7 to day 8, ultimately, again, she's in Yemei Tara. According to Beis Hillel holds Biyomei Ubetvila. In order to transition, ultimately, again, from Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tara, you need what? The passage of time and immersion in a mikvah. So we'll say, so again, two different versions of the machlokes in Beisham Beis Hillel. According to one version, their machlokes is mamish. Is the dam ma'ayon echad or shtei ma'ayonos? Is it one source or two sources? Which kind of goes back to the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Levi, or halacha lemaisa. The nafkamina will be, how does she transition from tumah to toar? According to Beishamai, time. All you need is a passage of time. Calendrical switch. According to Beis Hillel, you need the passage of time as well as immersion in the mikvah. We'll say to be continued tomorrow, Mir Tzah Hashem.